calls you.
They had slept, both had slept pretty good. They reported their water intake during the night. Surgeon seemed fairly satisfied with that. So as I say, we started to set up for the first PPS burn. This went off okay. We had a burn of about 340 feet per second docked. We were targeting for 208, I believe, and we managed to hit that very closely. The next order of business was to start planning for the and updating for the NSR maneuver, or the co-elliptic maneuver. In between, they were doing some preliminary EVA prep. The NSR maneuver occurred on time between Carnarvon and Canton. The crew reported a satisfactory burn, and the residual errors that they read out from the onboard computer indicated that they had had a good burn. Right now, the orbit of the spacecraft Agena configuration, again, if I can dig my papers out. Is 204 by 209. Now we will make another maneuver docked with the secondary propulsion system later on this afternoon, which will be a phasing maneuver in order to set the phasing up for the dual rendezvous tomorrow. The EVA prep seemed to go well. They actually seemed to be ahead of their timeline, and they actually were ready over the states, had completed everything, and were ready for the cabin depress. Everything looked good on the ground. All systems were okay. So we started the depress actually a little early, and they opened the hatch. Mike stood up and started taking S-13 experiment pictures. This all went very well, and everything seemed to be going smoothly. He reported in over Ascension the number of pictures he had taken, and over Tanana Reeve. The comm over Ascension wasn't too good. Tanana Reeve was excellent, as you probably heard. Coming across Carnarvon, still with the hatch open, all systems seemed very good from the ground. The crew reported everything was going well. And between then we, of course, lost comm between Carnarvon and Canton. We picked them up at Canton, and the crew reported that they had closed the hatch and had repressed. They reported that they had both had watering of the eyes and had difficulty seeing, and were having or were smelling some odor. So based on this, they decided to terminate, get Mike back in, get the hatch closed, and repress. They reported that that things seemed to be clearing up okay. The odor was diminishing, and the eye irritation was diminishing. And we picked them up over Hawaii. Again, it still seemed to be clearing up, and we were trying to determine what had happened. Coming across the states, ECOM and the surgeons, in conjunction with the surgeons, developed a quick test that we wanted to try on some of the suit fans in the ECS, which we tried. At this point, I think all we can say is that for some reason during the EVA, is apparently when the problem started, something happened in the ECS system, possibly lithium hydroxide. We got a slug of that or something, and we don't know this for sure. It could either be that. It could possibly be the suit fans, although I think most of the leaning right now is toward the lithium hydroxide. At this point, we are still looking at the problem. We intend to look at it for a while. It is clearing up. We tried closing the face plates, had them go on O2 high rate, and did a quick purge of the system, and that seems to clear it up. So we see no immediate problem. It's just a question of watching it for a while and see if we can get the whole system cleaned out. We feel like the system will eventually clear the problem up, and all we can do right now is look for a while. And I think all we can fairly say is that we can speculate on what actually did cause the problem at this time. We did get a tape dump of the telemetry over the United States. Hopefully we'll get some information from that. I think that briefly summarizes where we are to date. I might say what we plan to do for the remainder of the day, assuming we can get the problem cleared up, which we feel we can. We do have one maneuver scheduled this afternoon at about 27 hours, 15 minutes elapsed. We intend to try to do a D5 experiment, which is the star occultation, while we're docked to see if we can do that. We intend to put the crew to bed approximately an hour and a half earlier tonight in order to get them some extra rest prior to tomorrow's activities. Essentially, that's about it for the rest of the day. Go down the line. Dr. Barry, do you want to say anything in general, or do you want to open it for questions?
Well, I don't know where we start with this medical situation. I'll just say that from our point of view, this particular incident at the moment, I don't think I can really add anything to what Cliff said here about the fact that we feel that it may be lithium hydroxide. It's similar to the type of incident that we had occur on Gemini 4, as you remember, and the symptoms are very similar to that. We do have, as a result of that incident, as a matter of fact, we did put some eye drops in the medical kit. These are methyl cellulose eye drops, and we have those available to help clear the eyes, and we've asked them to wash their faces and try and clear any of the material that might be there off their face, and then to use these drops at their discretion. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll just have to watch this with time and find out. I think the best bet at the moment now is that it's probably lithium hydroxide. I don't think that that's a firm answer at all, as Cliff has said, and we'll just have to watch along and see what the problem is. Other than that, from a medical point of view, things have gone extremely well in the mission. We've had just to sum up, the overall physiological responses have been decidedly normal for the entire flight. They've had normal rates from time of liftoff through each of the PPS burns. They've had they peaked with that first burn, which we got some response from. They did get rates that reached the same level that they did on launch, which were 120 to 125. And so they did the same thing at the time that PPS burned. Those have been about the only periods where there has been anything of real note. The EVA period itself, their rates were very normal in that, and lower than what we had expected. They did peak out initially at the very beginning of that EVA. Mike had some rates that got to 130 when he was first getting in position in the open hatch. And from that time on, the rates just continued to stay down between 80 and 100 for the whole time for both of them during that period up until the time of the problem itself. Food and water and sleep situation, we estimated that they got about 6.5 hours sleep from looking at our rates, and that's a guesstimate at the moment, but it appears that that's a fairly good one. As far as the water intake, it has been good. They're running about 4.7 pounds a piece right now. They were at 19 hours, and of course we haven't had a report since that one this morning. We will get another one tonight. That's very good. The food intake is being reported in a manner such that if you don't hear anything said about food, about the items that weren't eaten, well, then they were eaten. And so we have a menu list that we're following, and know that that much food was taken. Now, we had one other item that I guess is of general interest was this radiation that was received. The dosimeter read this morning 0.78 rads. That was the maximum dose that was received. in the spacecraft, and this is about 1/20th of the dose that was estimated to be received on those passes through the anomaly. So this turned out even better than we had expected also, and certainly represents no hazard to the crew.
I don't really have anything to add to what Cliff said. The spacecraft systems have all worked very well up until we got this odor problem.
Okay, we've had a line problem at the Cape. Cape hasn't been hearing any of this until about the last minute or two. So if you will bear with us, I'm going to ask Cliff to give a brief recap on the updated flight plan for the rest of the day. And then, at the risk of incurring some wrath, I'll ask Dr. Barry to give a very brief recap on the eye irritation solution. And then we'll be okay, I think.
Okay, with reference to the problem that we've had with the eye irritation and the during the EVA, we're currently looking at the problem. We don't have the answer yet, and we intend to look at it. The problem is improving, or the irritation is diminishing. We're not overly concerned at it at this point, concerned about it at this point. For the rest of the day, as far as I know, the flight plan will be as we laid out this morning. Right now, they should be doing EVA stowage. At about 26:30, we'll do a D5 experiment. At 27:15, we'll do our phasing maneuver with a docked secondary propulsion system burn. At 28 hours, we'll do a D5 experiment. 28 hours, we'll start an eat period, and we intend to start the sleep period at 29 plus 40, which is slightly earlier than we had originally planned. But since we are limited on what we can do with experiments today in the dock configuration, we're going to put the crew to sleep a little earlier so we'll have them well rested for tomorrow. Okay, Dr. Barry.
It means we're going to let them go to sleep a little earlier. We're not really going to put them to sleep. Honest. Well, a quick summary from the medical side. All the physiological responses have been very, very normal. The rates have been low. The peaks at launch and at the time of the PPS burns being 120 and 125 for heart rates. We have had, as far as the radiation situation, the total dose received in the passes at the high altitude orbit through the South Atlantic anomaly were 0.78 rads, which is about a 20th of the dose that was calculated before the flight. They have each had about, at 19 hours elapsed time, they had each had about 4.7 pounds of water, and their food intake has been normal. We estimate they've had about 6.5 hours of sleep. As far as the eye problem is concerned, it's very reminiscent of what we saw on the Gemini 4 flight, and there are some eye drops available. As far as treatment's concerned, we've asked them to wash this material, if there is any material, at least to wash their faces and around their eyes, being careful to keep away from their eyes. And we've asked them to use the drops. And they did get clearing when they went to O2 high rate, and so they'll use this if it seems necessary. And we're going to just have to watch it and see what happens. It looks like it might be a lithium hydroxide problem, but we don't really know that for sure at the present time.
Okay, we'll take questions here at Houston now. Roy Neal?
How serious is this business of the eye irritation? If, for example, it doesn't go away, would you think of bringing them back down? Do you expect it to influence the umbilical EVA tomorrow?
I guess we'll have to wait and see just how what does develop. If it is, as Chuck said, similar to what we experienced on floor, why, it appears as if it's going to be a minor problem. We're not prepared yet to say what it will do to the umbilical EVA until we have a little bit more handle as to what it is and whether or not it goes away.
What are your alternatives, Mr. Schneider, if it were to continue, say?
Well, in all probability, the most serious alternative would be to change our plans for umbilical EVA.
In other words, you would intend to keep them up as long as the irritation maintained at a low level?
I'll
is that what
say
you're saying?
At this point in time, it looks as if we will be able to keep them up for the full mission.
Looks, in other words, as if there is no emergency landing in sight
at
this time.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think we should also point out, Bill, that, and although maybe Rod can elaborate on the system, that I don't think it's fair to say at this point that this will preclude the umbilical EVA, this problem.
You're still planning it at this time.
Right now, we are still planning it, but of course, we're still looking to try to pin down the problem.
I think we really have to watch it for a longer period of time yet to be very sure about what we're dealing with. And as they reported, I think you heard them say earlier that it's sort of an up and down thing with them, and sometimes it seems to be worse than others. And so I think we'll have to watch it in this configuration where they're breathing on cabin air and see what happens for a long period of time, Roy. Before we're able to say, I don't think we have a problem that we're ready to shoot them out right now.
Art Hill.
Could I get a time on the total stand-up EVA, hatch open, hatch closed, and that sort of thing?
I don't have that right now. I'll get it for you.
They closed the hatch while they were between stations, so we'll have to get a dump and we'll have to query them and find out when they did close it.
It was between
Carnarvon and Canton when they closed the hatch, yeah. But we'll have to check the time point.
Ben Kate.
Cliff, three questions all related to Agena 8. One, where was it in relationship to the combination at the height adjustment maneuver? In other words, how many miles ahead? Where is it now after you've completed circularization, and where will it be after you finish the phase adjust maneuver?
Well, the one that I can answer for sure is, or almost for sure, is right when we were doing the EVA at sunrise, well, not quite spacecraft sunrise, the Agena was approximately 1,000 miles, Agena 8 was 1,000 miles ahead. As you recall, yesterday at the conclusion of rendezvous, the Agena 8 was behind us. We went up to slow down our rate, and the Agena 8 is now ahead of us. We're catching up at the current time following the NSR maneuver that we made at approximately 1.2 degrees per rev. So we expect when we get through with the tweak maneuvers, this phasing maneuver this afternoon is the first one of the tweak maneuvers, and the maneuvers tomorrow, to wind up co-elliptic with it again, and approximately, I would guess, 1 degree behind in phase. Although this I'm not certain of. I can check it for you.
In nautical miles, what do you mean 1 degree behind?
Well, that would be roughly 60 miles.
Behind?
Yes.
That's tomorrow?
That's right.
When?
That would be approximately one rev prior to rendezvous.
Nelson, Ben.
Question on your oxygen supply. Is it correct that you're using, you use 4 pounds of oxygen at high rate? Is it correct also you have a total capacity of 104, and also what is your remaining environmental oxygen supply now?
Rod, do you have the numbers? The last number I heard read on quantity was around 90%, I think.
No, I don't have that last one. I'm trying to recall it, but I can't. Our high rate usage that you you ask about is about 2/10 of a pound a minute.
2/10 of a pound a minute.
Can I get?
Go ahead. Have you used any Ohm's fuel at all from the spacecraft today?
No, we have not.
Should you be able to perform tomorrow's umbilical EVA, will this be done while in a docked or an undocked position?
Undocked. We will undock from the Gemini 10 Agena just prior to terminal phase initiation. I guess it's about an orbit and a half before TPI.
Can you forecast at this time about when you will be able to decide whether or not you will perform the umbilical?
I think we can probably make that decision tomorrow. We right now are presently planning to go ahead with the dual rendezvous, even though we had the problem, or we have a problem of not as much fuel as we would like. So we feel like we'll commit the dual rendezvous with no problem. And I think, as Dr. Berry says, we'll have a long enough period of time to look at the system before we have to make the choice of whether to commit the umbilical EVA.
Shorty Power.
Two-part question, one for Bill Schneider and the other for Dr. Berry, and they're kind of related. I don't know whether the newsmen suddenly have gone numb and we just don't understand what we're hearing, or isn't it true that suddenly we're dealing with vagaries and no reports and the absence of data? We had a conference this morning, for example, in which we got about 87 I don't knows from people who just got off shift. Such things as fuel quantity and plans and intentions, so on.
Well, there's no absence of data. As you know, Shorty, the telemetry systems provide us with all of the data, and that is exactly the same as it has been in all the previous missions. So,
did we have some?
The data is available, yes. I think you just got one on a question on Ohm's quantity.
I know, this is now 8 hours late. This has been a problem of concern all day long. In the biomed, for example, this is the first doctor we've seen in this mission. And we've all been concerned with heartbeat rates and food consumption. Chuck, can I assume from your comments that if we hear nothing about food, they're going right down the list, 1, 2, 3, 4, meal A, meal B, meal C?
That was the agreement that we made, Shorty. We have some snack food, which they carried to use in the period up until the mealtime last night before sleep, and that was the first mealtime they had. And so if they do not say that we didn't eat the following items, they have eaten the food as on the list. And it is put in on a lanyard in such a way that they have to pull it this time. They have to pull those meals in exactly in line. So they had meal 1C last night. They had 2A and B today. They'll have 2C tonight. And then it'll be 3A, B, and C, and so forth right down the line.
You're happy, Dr. Berry, with both crewmen, in spite of the fact that we've heard almost nothing from them all during this time?
Yes, Shorty, I think this is a change, certainly, as far as the amount of talking that we've heard on the flight. I think I'd like to explain the fact that you haven't seen anyone over here. We've got a peculiar shift system going over there, and we're all just off of a shift cycle. And so we decided that in spite of that thing, we'll make sure that we get someone here to cover this thing, for which we do apologize, but we are on a different shift cycle. But we are happy at the moment with the situation, as with the information as far as their intakes are concerned, and certainly all the physiological data has been very normal.
Thank you.
And all of the systems have worked properly.
Dr. Berry, did you notice any increase in the delivery of the radiation, or the rate of the delivery over the Atlantic anomaly?
We're not really sure about that, Paul, because obviously we had zero reading on the meter before we went into the anomaly on the first pass, and we did get a reading last night before sleep on that first pass through. And then the only other reading we had, of course, was this morning after the sleep period, so the rest of it built up. So I can't tell you in dose rate, but all of that was accumulated just during the pass in the South Atlantic anomaly. So it obviously was increased in that area.
Jeff Thompson.
Dr. Berry, in view of the negative reporting and the fact that John Young did not report having this eye sensation earlier when he did get an indication, are you having second thoughts about that now?
What, about
the negative reporting?
Well, we always have second thoughts if there's something that's missed in the reporting along the way, and of course that's why we fly flights and why we debrief after flights, to try and make sure if we can't change things in some way that makes them better. And I think the only way we can do is see what happens with this particular mission and check the times and when these things happen in a debriefing period and see if there is a problem here. I don't know that there is right now.
Mr. Charlesworth, last night we were told that the terminal phase definitely would not be done using the Agena systems. This morning we had specific figures. If it were used, how are you going to accomplish that terminal phase now? with or without the Agena to save Kunfuel?
The terminal phase, if you mean from actual transfer, or TPI as we refer to it, into the Agena will not be docked. That will be with the spacecraft. Now, what we intend to do, since we don't have as much fuel as we would like, or propellant, we had originally planned, as you know, to separate from the Agena 10 today and do these tweak maneuvers with the spacecraft. We intend to stay docked, do the tweak maneuvers with the Agena, SPS. These we expect to be very small maneuvers. For example, the out-of-plane maneuver required right now is something like 12 feet per second. We intend to stay docked until tomorrow when we are through tweaking and our co-elliptical and have them set up in the best way that we can. At that point, we will undock and do the final terminal phase undocked.
Clay Alexander.
Cliff, would you tell us what experiments the astronauts carried out during the EVA?
Yes, they got approximately half of the S-13 photographs against the southern sky. The MSC-8, as best we know, they got that. We got that report. We heard some report concerning S-12, but no one in the control center could copy it well enough to know whether he said he retrieved the S-12 and handed it back in or just what he did say. We thought we heard him say S-12. When I left the control center, they were still troubleshooting the problem. They hadn't had a chance to get a full rundown from the crew.
Did they try the S-5, the pictures?
No, they did not. The problem developed, as you know, between Carnarvon and Canton, and they had planned to do that in that region, so they didn't get to do that.
Could you tell us what stars they used on the southern sky?
What we had instructed them to do, since we did not want to go to the attitudes required for the primary plan of the experiment, was just to photograph as best they could any stars against the southern sky.
One last question. Could you tell us this tweak burn this evening, what will be the amount of thrust and what will be your orbit and when? Well, just the general information.
Okay. It looks like about 8 feet per second. It will be a phasing type maneuver. This will be with the SPS, which in the docked configuration gives you about the same total thrust as the spacecraft alone. The orbit following that should be .206 by .209.
Herb Capwell.
Do you know any more yet about why more fuel was used yesterday than expected?
No, we do not.
Still, though, you're still pretty well convinced there's nothing physically wrong with the equipment?
We do not think there is.
Right, Neil.
We don't know for sure.
What is your propellant situation now? How much have you saved as a result of using the Agena, and what sort of shape are you in an overall sense?
Okay. Our best estimate of the propellant is right now 375 pounds. Now this depends on how you want to use this as to what this means. If this means that if you wanted to do purely translational maneuvers, in other words, just a plain old maneuver, you'd have that much propellant. However, when you're doing other things where you use attitude control, you get into mixture ratios to an average mixture ratios to come up with what you really have usable. With the 380 or 375, we feel like we have a reasonably good chance of completing the dual rendezvous, and assuming we can get the problem straightened out with the ECS, or the problem straightens itself out, that we have a very good chance of doing the umbilical EVA in the vicinity of the Agena.
After that, will you have enough propellant left to perform any maneuvering during the final day of the mission?
Yes. Well, perhaps not in the final day, but we will conserve enough propellant to make an orbit adjust to come back down to bring the perigee back down to at least 160 miles.
And what about experiments during that last period?
We hope to do part of, or at least we hope to do D10 during the last day if we have propellant available. But the way we're playing this right now is to take the 375 pounds, commit ourselves to the dual, hope that turns out well, and if we have something left after the orbit adjust, get the most experiments that we can.
Well, if that turns out well, but you use up just about all of your fuel, would you come down early?
No, we intend to conserve, or we will base a cutoff on the dual rendezvous that will enable us to have enough fuel to come back down to 160 miles, also some uncertainty number, and enough for retro preparation, so there would be no reason to come back down at that point.
Thank you.
Here in front.
Dr. Berry, you said that during the EVA, the heart rates were between 80 to 100 until the problem, the eye-watering problem. Do you mean here that the rates went up when they encountered the problem?
The rates were right between, they were varying right around 100. They had gotten down